Hello there, all you creeps. If you're one of the many new listeners, or even if you're someone who's been around and has chosen not to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, do it now, or I will forever haunt you in your home. That basically just means I will provide you with the best cuddling that you've ever experienced, and I'll probably do your dishes, honestly. You can also help support us all by giving us a 5-star rating on Spotify and by following us on our social media at The Fright Crew on Insta and The Fright Crew Pod on TikTok. I also just want to tell you guys how much we adore and appreciate all of your continued support, and we thank you from the bottom of our decrepit little hearts. Now, roll the intro.
Welcome to The Fright Crew.
What's spooky, you creeps? I'm your, yet again, shitty fucking husband who completely gives up on you when you need me most, Jensen Harper.
Ah, oh, Jensen.
Yeah.
Damn. Really gonna do it to us.
Mm-hmm.
I am just an old lady with some super long acrylic nails, preferably like neon pink,
yep.
And drinking a beer at the nail salon. Just living my best life.
Mm-hmm. With a little bit of chili around the rim. Yes. Love that for you. Courtney, that is Courtney. I'm Jensen. We are who? Who are we?
We're still the Fright Crew.
Sure are.
We're still here. We are enjoying things and watching good movies.
But yeah, guys, we are done with David Lunch Month, obviously. And we've only got a couple weeks before we go on a quick little break. We decided to do like a one-off film this week, which is what, Courtney?
We are finally doing Who's Sarah,
mm-hmm,
which as, yes, if you've heard any of our previous stories, our previous episodes, we've kind of talked about this because I saw this movie in Telluride at Telluride Horror Show, and I loved it. And I think right after I saw it, I texted Jensen and was like, you have to see this movie. So I am hoping so much that you liked it. Because if you didn't, then I've just wasted my breath for so many months. Because that was in fucking October. We're in May. And
damn, right.
I think I had this on my like top discoveries of 2022.
And you did. Yeah.
Yeah. So people already know how I feel about this movie. Watching mm-hmm. it again, like I still very much enjoyed it, and I still would have it on my top discoveries of 2022. So I'm excited to see how you felt about it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We'll get right into that for sure. I'm super pumped to finally discuss it. It's finally here. Like we told you guys last week, go ahead if you haven't already, check it out. It's on Shudder. It was added. I think they did a quirky little thing and tried to release it for Mother's Day because it is kind of, you know, motherhood trauma, mm-hmm. stuff like that. Because it was that same weekend of Mother's Day. So I think they tried to pull a whatever blanket over our heads. But yeah, it's a movie that we will talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited, but I want to first off hear what your experience with it was, obviously, because you were the one that experienced it at a festival. Mm-hmm. And from what we've discussed, it was your first ever like festival, right? Like film festival.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So what was it like, dude?
So, well, the festival itself was amazing. Yeah. The movie theaters were pretty small and cramped, so like
right.
kind of being a little bit uncomfortable watching movies was not the best, but I still am like thrilled and very thankful that I got to go. But this one I originally didn't have like on my radar to see when I was there. I had like a list of movies that I had heard about that I was really excited to see that I wanted to like make a point to see while I was there, and I had seen another one right before this. It was like a Korean horror film. I can't remember what it was called. We talked about it and I mm-hmm. feel really bad that I can't remember it now, but
I have it on my list still, but it's not like available to watch anywhere yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like one word. It's like one Korean word. And
yeah.
Except with an S, I think. Like, we're right there.
Yeah, it's right there on the tip of our tongue.
I'll look it up while you continue talking.
Okay. So that one was on my radar. Seer. Yes. I was going to say Sears for whatever reason.
Yeah.
The department store that I don't think is around anymore. Yeah. So that one was on my radar. I definitely wanted to catch that one. I did. Glad I did. Mm-hmm. And so I left the theater and this one was playing right after. So everybody was lining up to go back in to see this one. And so I was like looking at the schedule to see like what was playing and like what I was able to go and see. Cause I originally like wasn't thinking about like going back in and seeing another movie in that same theater and like going off and like seeing if something else was playing or whatever, but I like read the like little synopsis about it and I was like, okay, like witches, cool.
Right.
So we went back in, saw this, and yeah, I was like, holy shit, like if I missed this movie, I would have been so freaking sad because it wouldn't have been like again on my radar. Like in the future now, like when it came to Shudder, I probably wouldn't be like jumping to see it right away. And yeah, I had some friends that I ran into in that theater as well who had seen this and we like caught up afterwards and like all of us just loved it and we were like able to kind of talk about what we thought.
That's awesome.
Of like, yeah, like meanings behind it and whatever. And him and I have a lot of like similar taste in movies. So he really liked it. And like even now, like we've talked about it briefly again and he's like mentioned how he like saw it was coming on Shudder and was excited to see it again, but it was really cool. And I'm glad I was able to see it and experience it there. Cause it probably wouldn't have been something that I like would jump to see right away when I, when I saw it come to streaming, but yeah.
Yeah. That's an interesting comment for sure. Because I've said it quite a few times over the past, you know, year or so that something about Shudder original tag doesn't really get me going these days. I think there's just, they're putting out a lot of stuff that's not entirely made for me and my taste. There have been, you know, a few, like two of my top two favorites of last year's discoveries were Resurrection and Watcher.
Yeah.
Watcher was first. Both of those are considered Shudder originals. So that's cool. But they're very hit or miss with a lot of their stuff. So
yeah,
I fully agree with you. If I wouldn't have caught, you wouldn't have mentioned this to me that you liked it. And B, if I wouldn't have caught any like previews or trailers for this movie and I just saw it pop up on Shudder, I don't know if your boy would have clicked on it, at least not right away. It may be way down the road, but yeah, that's a really strong point to this. And I don't know. That's one like frustrating thing is, there's like this weird oversaturation of Shudder right now that I feel like eventually they're going to dig themselves this massive hole, this grave where they're going to just have too much content like Netflix. Like,
yeah,
every time I get on Netflix, it's like, yo, here's this new show that we think you're going to like. And I'm like, bro, you guys need to chill out with this shit. And Shudder, you know, they're getting a little trigger happy with the buying rights of movies like this. So it's a little concerning, but yeah, I think that's one of the biggest concerns is I don't think this movie is going to have the reception that it deserves. I'll say that. So that's always already a good sign. But what was the like audience reception to it? Like, could you tell like a vibe? Like people were like interest, like into it, or like when you were walking out, were people like that shit sucked?
I didn't hear anything negative. Cool. And even the person that I had went with who we watched the movie with me was not like super into these kind of like artsy movies, and even they like enjoyed it and were able to have like a good conversation about it as well. And even after like the festival was said and done, like we were still able to like go back on this and be like, that was such a good movie. So I think it works for a lot of different people because it's not like a super like scary horror. It's like, it's a body horror. So it's like has some like gross stuff where you're like, ugh. but it is like artsy. There's a lot of like metaphors that makes you think. And looking at like the reviews and stuff, it's one of those movies where people don't like take the time to understand it or care or even like appreciate anything about it. And they're like, oh, yeah, there's like two jump scares and it's not it's not a horror movie. Like, why would someone call this a horror movie?
Right.
But there's a lot of that. Like, I saw a lot of one-star reviews of people just saying this isn't a horror movie, this is bullshit.
People are
whatever.
So fucking dorky,
yeah,
man.
And, yeah. And they don't understand. I know. The Conjuring.
Yeah.
Jesus. Which is a bummer because like the director, it's like their debut film. It's a female director. Right. And it's a beautiful movie. And I wish people that like don't typically watch horror like this would see it for what it is. But yeah.
Right.
I mean, reception was good from what I what I noticed.
But you know, I mean, I would hope so at a film festival.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it does come, you know, I was checking IMDb ratings and stuff. It's like user pretty low, critically super high.
Yes. I saw that too.
And it's stupid because I hate to like align with critics all the time. Because sometimes I don't agree, you know, like I'm not going to name names. So, but yeah, there are some movies that I do. I'm like, no, I did not enjoy this. And critics love it. So,
And it was interesting because it felt like a lot of the movies and the like short films and stuff that like a lot of them had the same theme of like pregnancy. Because Seer, which was right before this one, had the same theme. And a lot of people who like were in that theater went right back into this one. So
interesting. Okay.
It was just like that was a very artsy horror film as well. Like not like bloody, not any of like those like crazy jump scares. This one right after it, but there were so many. I was just like, is this like a theme this year or something? Is like pregnancy? Because there were so many.
Yeah.
That I saw when I was there.
That was kind of the highlights of last year, you know, Barbarian, fucking Resurrection, like a lot of stuff, dude. Even like Teton, which was the year prior, you know, the year before that, but still like, I think it's just a lot of female directors are coming out of the gate just going, you know what, fuck this. Like I'm going to be heard and talk about like my, and of course. Yeah. Yeah. And like talk about my anxieties of what pregnancy is and stuff. And yeah, I mean,
what society wants you to be as a woman.
Yeah. Yeah. Which we'll get into our notes and stuff or like our trivia. I have some of those kinds of facts and stuff that we'll get into. So speaking of, if you're ready to get into it, because we did gush for quite a bit if you think about it, so you're ready to get into our first section.
I have a very teeny tiny little baby.
Okay. Yeah, I figured, dude. Yeah, it was I had to find an interview and stuff to pull from that. So yeah, guys, let's get right into
the bony brains.
Courtney, I want to hear a little tiny bit of brains.
A little sprinkle.
Like a teaspoon. Yeah.
Yes. A little.
A garnish.
A little nibble. Garnish. Okay. So Who Sarah, the Bone Woman, is a 2022 supernatural body horror film directed and co-written by Michelle Garza Cervera in her feature film directorial debut. If I could speak words.
Never.
Never. Someday.
Someday,
so the film had its world premiere at the Tribeca Festival in New York on June 9th of 2022 as part of the festival's midnight section. The film is set to receive a North American theatrical release by XYZ Films on February 10th, 2023, which is past. Here we are. It will be released on, or it has been released on Shudder as of February 16th, 2023, it says, but that's not true.
No, they delayed it, and I don't know why. I think it's my theory that they put it off for Mother's Day. I'm serious.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah.
That would definitely make sense. So it was not released on that day. It actually was released like fairly recently, so it is available on Shudder now for anybody and everyone to see if you have a Shudder subscription, which you should.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a gross worldwide box office of 1.6 million, which is not terrible. I could not find a budget, unfortunately.
Okay.
So it has a runtime of 93 minutes, which is perfect. It's about an hour and 37 minutes. It was filmed in Mexico and it is in the Spanish language, so you will need to watch it with subtitles if you do not speak Spanish. So I have a 6.1 out of 10 on IMDb, a 99% on Rotten Tomatoes, 83% on Metacritic, and then you likely have, you said you have Letterboxd.
Letterboxd is a 3.5 out of 5, so not too shabby with 15,000 people who have seen it, which is decent for, you know, more than I thought, honestly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and quite a few of my friends have seen it and stuff, so, yeah, dude. That's all you got. And I understand that. I looked up some stuff and I was like, whoa, I'm really going to have to pull this out of my ass. So, but as we know, I like to do a deep dive on the director. So I've got a little bit of tidbits about her and then an interview with her. So Michelle Garza Cervera is based out of Mexico City. She graduated from, and excuse our pronunciation on probably some of this stuff throughout the film and throughout these notes and stuff. But she graduated from the Centro de Capacitación Cinematográfica. While there, she was awarded the Chevening Scholarship, which enabled her to study in the UK. While she was over the Big Pond in the United Kingdom, she ended up completing an MFA in film directing at Goldsmiths University of London. And a lot of her short films, such as Falha Komum from 2020, The Original from 2018, Abysmal from 2017, Mexico Barbero 2, also from 2017. That one's more, it's like a full-length film, but an anthology, and she has the segment in it called Vitriol. La Rabia de Clara from 2016 and Isosceles from 2013 have all been parts of many different film festivals, so she's got quite a few short films. And I'll save some notes I have on those until we get into the notes. So Husera, the Bone Woman, is Michelle's debut feature length, as Courtney said, which ended up premiering at the Tribeca Film Fest in 2022. While it was there, it actually won the Best New Narrative Director and the Nora Ephron Awards. It has run its course through many other film fests, including our own here in Colorado, which played at the Telluride Horror Show on Friday, October 14th at 2 p.m. According to the internet. Hopefully
that, that was correct, actually. Okay.
She's like, I remember at 1:59 p.m. I was in line to go pee first.
I was actually in line getting a beverage. I think I got a cider.
Nice.
And some popcorn.
I could see remembering that. It really wasn't that long ago. And such an impactful film, you'd probably remember what you were drinking.
Yeah. I remember the whole trip.
The everything whole damn I ate, thing. Yep.
Drank.
Yep.
The way it smelled.
Yep. Yep. Everything you touched. Yep.
Everything I touched.
So Husera has also won other accolades like the prestigious Film Fest Citizen Kane Award for Best New Director and the Blood Window Award for the Best Ibero-American Film. Yep. I was going to ask a question, but I already asked that. So Michelle also has a film that she is writing and directing in pre-production currently entitled Palizada. There isn't quite a plot yet, though, so I don't know any info on that. Taken from an interview on the website remezcla.com, who focus on Latin music, culture, and events that no one covers, the interview and article were done by Kiko Martinez. Michelle talks about her grandmother, who was a woman that she had never met, and yet she had gained notoriety within her family. After Michelle's mother died, she began asking the uncomfortable questions about the fear that had been instilled in her at a young age about her grandmother. There's a quote by her in the interview, quote, "Whenever I would bring up my grandmother, it would always be like, don't ask about her. She was a bad person. We don't speak about her. I only knew that she left when my father was little, but those stories were very complex. Her name was always hidden, always in silence." One of her goals while writing the script for Husera was that she wanted to explore the connection between her and her grandmother. She's a woman in her 30s who has no children, and she felt inspired by the social expectations and how terrifying they can all be. She felt that her grandmother's choices in the 40s ultimately, quote, erased her from existence. And in that, she felt the best way to explore this was with a supernatural horror film. Quote, "I felt like there was a lot to inspect in those themes. Horror was the perfect genre to do an exploration of this kind of character." Husera is inspired by other films such as Rosemary's Baby and The Babadook, with similar themes in motherhood and bodily autonomy. Quote, "It's important to give light to these stories. I feel like it's liberating and cathartic and necessary for families to discuss those classic concepts like the black sheep of the family. There's nothing wrong with talking about them. We shouldn't hide them." Michelle is pleased these days that more directors are expanding out to higher concepts in horror. There is, of course, always room for a classic slasher or a classic monster movie. She is happy that horror continues to evolve, though. And a last little quote. There's always been this core to horror films that have a very insightful message about the human condition. That's really my style. I like a film to feel more contained. I like to build more from the silence and focus on what is out of frame than what is inside. That construct of cinema is what I'm interested in the most. Boom. So that's all I got, dude. Hell yeah. So much trivia. Oh my God. I can't believe it took us that long.
Yeah. Nick Raganis did not have a synopsis for us today, unfortunately. There's one synopsis, and it's very... It leaves much to the imagination.
Okay. What happened to beautiful Courtney's, like...
Honestly, I should have just done it, because I should have just known that Nick wasn't going to...
Right.
come through for us today. I just had a feeling. Nick.
Yeah.
And it was too late.
Okay.
Yeah. And off the top of my brain, I can't come up with something. Because there's just so much. So I'm just going to read this real quick. It says, Valeria has long dreamed about becoming a mother. After learning that she's pregnant, she expects to feel happy. Yet something's off. And that's it. Literally.
Something's
definitely off.
You know what else is off is I didn't even intro this section, Courtney. You just fucking went for it, dude.
Because it doesn't deserve the introduction, because
whoa,
it's just so shitty, that one. I feel like a failure. I'll go out into the backyard and you can put a gun to my head or something.
Yeah, put you down like old Yeller. I mean, I think people get the gist of it with our notes, but
yeah,
let's get into that section, which is
the bony heart as well. Let's just
keep it boned up, you know.
Keep it boned up.
So yeah, that was the synopsis, and it is pretty vague, but what do you expect with a movie that's kind of also vague? So
yeah,
I'd like to kick it off with a question. I don't know. I'm talking like that.
Please talk like that the rest of the time.
Courtney, if you were being haunted by a creaky bone woman thing during a tough time of your life, what would you do to try to get help? Would you turn to the local witches of Denver?
Absolutely.
Fuck my people.
Yes, I
would. Get your circles going. Yeah.
No questions asked.
Talk to your mom. I'm sure she'll let you know where they are, right?
No.
Thornton.
Yeah, I was going to say Karen's not down for the witches, but I think I know some people who could point me in the right direction.
Hell yeah. I feel that. Yeah. I don't even have to answer that question. I'm actually not going to, because it's more isolated for, you know, women and their bodies. So I'm not going to. So yeah, I feel that. And I support you in finding these witches. Your thing, sis. Okay.
Pop off, sister.
Yeah. All right. And it's a good thing that we're already here, because I do have, now that I'm looking at them, quite a few notes. I always like to warn. Okay, guys, listen, listeners, when it's a movie that we've all seen a million times, my notes are usually pretty unhinged. They're more of just comments on the movie and like, oh my God, I love this character. A lot of quotes. Whenever it's like a new movie like this, it ends up being very, you know, kind of a retelling of the story and my vague perception of it. So bear with us, but let's get off. So the movie opens up with Valeria leaving some flowers as an offering at a holy site where people are praying and such things to the Lady Virgin of Guadalupe, I believe. When we were watching it, I was like, is that Guadalupe? And Chanel was like, no, that's just the Virgin Mary. And I was like, but I think in Mexico it's like different. So I searched it, and yeah, I think I'm right. I think it's the Lady Virgin of Guadalupe. So, and she's there with her mother and someone else. I think, was it her aunt? Okay. And they're like praying for her to be able to have a child. And then it transitions into a woman on fire, which.
Yes. Perfect.
Looked like I was smoking a joint, but I was actually doing Jessica's. I guess that's this. Yeah.
I was wondering. Like, you smoke a little doobie?
So cut to Valeria is having sex with her partner, and she wants him to come in her. She also clearly wants a baby, because she is on the edge of the bed in a pose where she has her legs up, which also gives us imagery of a cross, which gotta love I'm not even religious, bro, but when we get imagery, dog, I'm here for you. Yes. And yeah, it's kind of that classic thing where I think it's like a myth, but supposedly if you're trying to get pregnant, if like the woman like lifts her legs up in the air, it can help possibly.
Yeah. There's a lot of weird myths. Like,
yeah,
they used to say that if you jumped up and down after
it, yeah, you wouldn't get
pregnant. You would confuse the sperm and then like it wouldn't, it wouldn't fertilize your eggs. So yeah.
There's, bro, there's let's just lot. Say those little guys are quick, okay? They move quick, so you yeah, gotta do. Yeah,
you gotta jump yeah. fast. You gotta jump rope immediately after.
Yeah, like if you're still, if a penis is still inside of you, you better be jumping already. Honestly,
be,
dude, yeah.
You will be jumping up and
yep.
down.
Yep. So Valeria is working on some home projects, but then she goes to get tested to see if she was pregnant, and there's low-key a really creepy little girl there, like sticking her tongue out at her. There's a lot of that in this movie where it's like kind of hinting at like maybe she's not ready, because I do feel that, I don't know, Courtney, obviously you're Jesus Christ. I'm boiling myself in hot water here because I don't know about your life in that sense. Like I was going to say, you're obviously in a place where you don't want to have kids, but I don't know. We don't talk about that. And that's not really my business or my place to say anything, because single women can have
you baby. Are correct though.
I feel like we are vaguely, correct. Okay, good. Yes. I feel like we vaguely talked about it. So when
I like my freedom.
Right. I feel like when at our age or whatever, younger, give or take, when you're not like ready to have a kid, sometimes you'll like see kids out in the wild in the jungle and you're just like baffled. You're like, I can't love you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's rough. I go through my phases where I'm like, oh my gosh, like kids are so cute and fun and whatever. And then I'll go through phases like, how the fuck does someone like, how do they do that every day? Like dude, have like, my life is so different from that.
Yeah.
That I just couldn't imagine it. Cause I just like wake up and like do what I want to do.
Yeah.
And like when I plan stuff in advance, like the trips and whatever the shows, it's like, I don't have that like on my brain where I'm like, oh, like I can't do that because I have a human in my attached house to that me. I have to take care of. Not to say that like I don't ever want that,
right?
But just right now it's not for me.
Yeah, and I so I'm sure you got those similar vibes that Valeria is just not really. It's not like she's not ready. I just think she's kind of still in that headspace of like, kids kind of freak me out. Like I'm not good with kids. I'll admit that right now, dude. I'm good with my nephew because he's like my kin or whatever, you know, like he's in my blood or whatever. But like if a friend of mine was like, yo, can you babysit our child? I'd be like, yo, I don't know if this thing's going to make it through the night. Okay. I'm letting you know that now. But yeah, so there's quite a few of those instances in this film. So Raul gets home from work, seemingly, and she has the information like in a packet. And there's a really cute scene where they get all excited because turns out she's preggers. We love that. The two of them go out with Raul's mother, where she insists on buying them a new crib, even though Valeria is literally making a whole ass one. They also go to the OBGYN to check on things, and she claims that she has lost her appetite. Things are changing. So Valeria buys some flowers from a street vendor for Mother's Day while on their way to her parents' house. They're having dinner and Valeria offers to watch her sister's children, and they all don't think that she's capable of doing so, which is super sad. They also reveal how when she was younger, she offered to watch the neighbor's baby. I think it was the neighbor. And she accidentally dropped the baby down the stairs, or like the kid. And they're like all laughing about it, even though you can tell that she's like super hurt by it, dude. And there's all these like small moments where she's hyper fixated on children, like I was saying, being like low-key kind of gross and just weird. And yeah, it's just like I said, it's like the way I look at some kids too. And it's literally her own. I think she's looking at her niece or nephew eating something at the table and they're just being gross about it, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that scene was really sad to me because yeah, it's essentially a passive way of your family saying like, we don't believe in you, that like you can be a mother.
Yeah.
Right. You know, which is just, you know, I feel for women for sure that go through these things. Like, you know, every time we're around family with Chanel, it's just like, oh, when are you guys going to have a baby? And it's like, we're not talking about this. You know,
I know. And it sucks when like, yeah, you get to like a certain age or a certain point in your life and like people expect things of you. And it's like, it's, yeah, my choice. It's my life. It's what I want.
Yeah.
And like, they think like, as you get older or whatever it may be, like it's too late, or like you're,
yeah,
you have to have kids at like this certain point in your life. And,
right,
it's shitty. 'Cause I'm like, there's no, like, of course, like there's points where you are too old where, sure, like it would,
yeah,
be,
yeah,
like harmful to like yourself, yeah, and the child if you try to have a kid.
Right.
But like when you're getting upwards, like for myself, like being almost 30,
mm-hmm,
like my mom says it a lot to all of us, like myself, my brother and my sister, like, oh, me and your dad are talking about like when we're going to have grandkids. And I'm like, well, it's not going to be me. Like, it'll happen when it happens.
Yeah, dude. You know, we've all been there. I'm sure a lot of our listeners can relate to shit like that, where, like you said, there is that societal expectation to have a proper pregnancy, that, you know, you have this incredibly healthy baby. And like, there's so many like factors, dude, mm-hmm, you know, I mean, Chanel and I have dealt with like, issues with that kind of thing. And,
yeah,
you know, and it weighs on you. And especially when your family is like constantly expecting, it's just, yeah, it's not fun, dude. So, yeah. And I was also going to say, as pertaining to the film, like I was actually shocked to find out that like, about halfway through, she has the child, like she has the baby girl, in, yeah, that, because I was almost expecting this to be one of those films where the baby's inside of the womb the entire time in the belly, yeah, and then it kind of ends with this big bang of some sort. Yeah. But yeah, like halfway through, I was like, oh, the baby's out. Okay, so where are we going from here?
Which I will say, I felt the same way when I saw it for the first time.
Yeah.
I didn't expect it to be like a part of the story where like the baby is there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I expected it to be shocked, kind of like the movie, like how inside, like the baby's literally, right, inside the entire time. You don't like,
yeah,
really see it until the end.
Yeah. But it it takes place over quite a few months, you know, mm-hmm, technically from beginning of contraception all the way to what, you know, a few months into the baby's life and stuff. So, so there's also small things going on with Bones. There's like a chicken being violently like ripped apart for a meal. And she's like doing this thing where she's like popping her knuckles in a not so great way. All of her family wants her to stop doing it, but she won't, because she's getting, it's kind of like her tick, you know, it feels like her,
anxious.
Yeah. Her anxiety for sure. On the way home from her parents' house, Valeria sees a woman on a balcony looking all creepy and weird. And then she runs into an old friend on the street. Turns out that friend is a little more than a friend.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is interesting. That's one thing I really enjoyed about this film was how many turns it took that I honestly wasn't really expecting. And I think that's like a great thing about watching films from other cultures, you know, is they don't always follow the same exact rules that American films do.
Yeah.
So while they're home, she can't sleep, so she goes out to their balcony. The scene was crazy. To get some air. And across the street, she sees another woman looking all jacked up, literally jump off of the balcony, where she breaks her fucking legs real bad. But then her like neck twists up to her and she has a blank face and stuff, like real gross looking, honestly. And this is kind of the first real scene where she's witnessing these things happening around her. And what do you know? Shitty old Jensen, the husband, comes in and just kind of doesn't really believe her.
Yeah.
And that's such a constant theme throughout. Like, he's such a sweetheart in the beginning.
Yeah.
You know? And it kind of reminds me of, like, Watcher.
Yeah.
Where it's okay, like, I kind of like this guy. You know, he seems, like, in the same ballpark. But then, yeah, it just falls flat.
He breaks her heart.
Dude, this one's rough. The ending, bro? bro, I'm getting teary-eyed. What? I know. We'll get there, but what the fuck? Oh my God. So she also goes back to the doctor and she's losing weight, sadly. And the doctor says that she might have anemia. She's not really eating anything, even when Raul makes her like some bomb ass food. She just kind of throws it in the trash, but that's, you know, you got to do your thing. So the classic thing happens where Valeria tries to seduce Raul and he's all weirded out by the baby being inside of her. This is like a thing, dude. What is that? Like, I'm literally trying not to be inappropriate. Obviously, my wife and I have sex. If she were pregnant, it doesn't matter how late in term she is, or, you know, I'd still be attracted to her and want to have sex with her. Like, I'm sorry. I don't get guys like that or whatever. It's so weird.
It is very odd.
It's actually it's really like, fucked up.
It is really fucked up too. Cause it like makes like her feel undesirable.
Yeah.
And it just makes it is weird to me too. I agree with you completely. Cause it's like, what does he think? He's going to like hit the baby. He's like, it's weird.
Which like is scientifically impossible.
Absolutely.
So whatever, you do your thing, man.
Yeah.
But shooting blanks. So in the middle of the night, Valeria wakes up to the sound of someone knocking on their window or like their front door and ringing the bell. A little creepy. She tries to wake up Raul, but he just turns over in bed, which is fucking crazy to me. So she goes to the front door and looks out the peephole, and there's like some Silent Hill shit outside going on. Not like the fog, but like one of those, like, I don't know, like faceless monster things. And Valeria, my dude, opens the door. What? Why are we doing this? Oh no.
Why is that me?
Courtney, I would hope not. Dude, if you ever look at your people and you see a fucking Silent Hill figure, maybe lock the door twice.
I'm like, you need to use the phone?
Dude, for real, you need some milk? Like, what's up? You want to pet my cats?
Come on in.
Yeah. Oh, shit. So she's looking down the stairs and, you know, after opening the door, and we get a different camera angle that shows the bone woman is what I'm calling her, I think, crawl into their apartment. All gross. It's looking pretty gnarly. This movie is giving those vibes of pregnant women going through an insane part of their life and no one actually believing her or willing to help her out. Classic, you know. I mean, how many times did we touch on this theme last year? Swallow, Resurrection, like so many movies, dude. I feel like it's just a constant theme. And it's actually sad to me that a lot of those directors of these films are women because they go through these things, you know, that, you know, this one's a lot of that societal expectation, you know, and just women who like, the men just like don't understand, dude. It's gross. So I don't even know what this is applying to, but I said, oops, more kids around her doing weird kid things, but whatever. She goes to like a shaman or a witch, where she's trying to kind of rid herself of the bad spirits. At this point, she's 5 months along. And back home, Raul and Valeria are meditating, and she doesn't really care for it. She's kind of making it a joke, which it's all cute and shit. Like the way that Michelle, the director, implemented character study into this is honestly pretty incredible. The ways in which like Raul and Valeria go back and forth of being like a tight couple to him turning into kind of the villain of the whole fucking film is incredible. Like, and it's devastating. And that's what lends to the end being so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Yeah, she fucking kills it. And I guess actually now I said I was going to talk about her short films. I watched all of them except for one, I think. So I watched Isosceles, which was pretty cool. It's kind of like a zombie film. Is unique, weird, fun. There's one called The Rage of Clara, I think. And that one was pretty cool. And I think one of the other ones. And they're all pretty solid. I think this director, she really, really likes to focus on the characters and have them sit in silence a lot. There's a lot of silence in her short films in this film. There wasn't, if you think about it, this film didn't have like a massive score. Yeah. It had like beats of like when the horror was trying to hit, they would, she would put some stuff in, but, and then there was a lot of soundtrack, which is in my notes somewhere, that this fucking soundtrack rules, dude. I want to get into Mexican like pop punk like this or whatever.
I know they had good music. Bad.
Whoa. Yeah. Like the end credits. I was like,
I was surprised. Yeah. That's really funny you said that, because I said the exact same thing, because I forgot about that part or that song during the credits, because I thought the same thing like afterwards when I saw it for the first time. But when I watched it again, I was like, this song is really fucking good. Yeah, and it's not what I expected for the end credits at all, especially with the way the movie ended. I'm like, what?
Yeah, true, true. That's
funny. Midwestern Spanish emo? It's crazy. Dude,
it rules, yes. I was like, I'm super into this. And also she is basically done with everything in the baby's room. So she insanely made the crib and the chair and the mobile thing that hangs over the crib, like all this crazy shit, like with her own fucking hands while being pregnant. And it's looking real cute and shit, way better than the fucking crib that the mother-in-law wanted to buy. But yeah, they go out and get an ultrasound of the baby to find out the gender. And turns out that they're having a little girl. But while they're looking at the screen, she can't quite see the baby. And instead, when I say this, she sees one of the creepiest shit things I've ever seen, like in a long time. It's like just this gross, creepy face. I don't know how to explain it. Maybe I'll post a picture. Like demonic. I don't know. Yeah, it's so gnarly. I was like, no, thank you. That can go to hell. Straight to hell, dude. Yeah, it's gnarly. Also, she dreams slash like imagines the bone woman living in their home, breaking Valerie's ankle while she's sleeping. That was rough. That was super rough.
Any of those kind of injuries.
Yes. Gross. And, like, just the sound, right?
Yep. The cracking. Snapping.
Yes, dude.
Squelching.
Right. And it sucks because I was taking a note at that point, and so I was just like, oh, she's in bed right now. No big deal. And then I like heard like a crack and I looked up and I saw her ankle was all crooked. So I was like, dang it, I barely missed it. And I don't think I rewound either. So maybe I should go back. But while she is in the tub taking a bath, she imagines from when she was younger. And dude, was this not all of us in high school? I love how punk they all are. They're so dope. Like Vans gang for sure. Yes. But it also reveals in this that she wanted to go to college, and she also kisses her friend, the one that we saw earlier in the film. We're lucky to assume that that's the friend from earlier.
It is Octavia.
Okay. Yeah. So, she goes to visit her and her friend, and she works, I think, at a gym, and we get a quick montage, a dope ass montage of a bunch of badass women hitting the bags. And I stand by this, like, all of them could literally beat the living fuck out of me. Like, I'm dead, dude. I'm in the ground. The way they were hitting those bags, I was like, I'm done, dude. Like, just let me down now.
It's like those roller derby girls.
Yeah, dude. Like,
they're badass. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, wait, am I attracted to that? Yeah.
if someone isn't, then I would seriously question everything about them.
Yeah. Because I stand by, I know my wife could beat the shit out of me, too. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, she could. Chanel's a badass, too.
Yeah. So they go to the friend Octavia's house and they have sex while listening to some Mexican punk rock, whatever you want to call it, Mexican type of rock. It's dope. In a pretty cool scene. I like her hair, actually. It's like, yeah, I don't know why I said that. It's just
with the purple streak.
Yeah, it's cool. I like it too. I dig that. Anyway, Valeria goes to her parents' home to babysit her niece and nephew, and things right away are getting pretty fucking bad. But I also really want to know what movie she's watching, of course.
I was thinking the same thing, the little kid about to jump out the window.
Yep. I was like, dude, I need to know what movie this is right now. But it looks like a 40s movie, maybe?
Very you vibes.
You know,
black,
dude.
And white.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Easy. I was like, what is this? But yeah, the kids, oh my God, they're being little shits, man. I'm like,
they're pissing me off.
Yep. I mean, like, just every little thing. Like, he was, like, hiding the remote. And
being just fucking menaces.
Yeah. And it's actually funny. It's just now hitting me that the animosity that her sister I believe it's older sister, right? She's the mm-hmm. younger one. Okay.
Yeah.
That she is always like constantly judging her. I mean, even her sister's introduction is where she doesn't even like acknowledge her. She just like comes yeah. home. And that, like, those kinds of things, like, for instance, like, my sister doesn't listen to this, but if she happens to, sis, I love you. If she were to be shit-talking me all the time to my nephew, and he hits, like, 9 years old and I'm watching him, I'm not going to expect that kid to respect me, right?
Yeah.
Because my sister's always talking shit about me. So, yeah, it just kind of hit me that no one really respects her and thinks that she's capable mm-hmm. of anything. Even Raul, which sucks. Damn.
Yeah.
Shit's dark.
Which is shitty. And it makes me think too, like, what exactly is the reason? Cause it seems like yeah. she was like going down a bad path, and then like her brother died, and she wanted to make her parents proud. So she did everything that she could to make them proud, which meant like leaving that, growing her hair out, marrying a man. Cause clearly yeah. she's likes women. Mm-hmm. And kind of just doing everything that she thought would make them proud. She went to school. She is having a baby. And they're still shitty to her. So it's just interesting to me, like, because they don't really touch on it that much. If, like, something happened in the past really bad for right. her sister to be so shitty to her. Because her sister right. is so freaking mean.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a scene, late, like, right after this where I'm just like, wow, her... kind of her whole family sucks except for her awesome yeah. aunt, but
yeah, because yeah, if it's because she was like a menace kind of when she was younger, and like that scene, like the goth scene,
yeah,
like she's not anymore, so like right. what did she do, I guess, when that kid fell down the stairs when she was babysitting?
But like, then why are you laughing about it?
Yeah, exactly.
If you still they're hold like, it so
exactly
yeah, like, yeah so It's rough. Yeah. These kids like are showing her no respect and stuff. And also simultaneously, the family's dog is absolutely going bonkers. And what do you know? We get dog death.
Yeah. That's awful. So, I hate that shit.
Yeah. So yeah, after the kids are being shit heels for a little bit, she goes to pop her knuckles in the kitchen with stress. Dude. Yeah. And there's this amazing shot where she's looking out the window, the kitchen window, and she can see like a naked woman standing where she is, and also like a bunch of conjoined women outside as well. It's fucking wild, dude. Like, this is a movie where the explanation doesn't do it justice. You just have to watch it and be like, yeah. wait, what did I just see? It's very, and like some of it's hidden. You have to really look out for it for sure. But that whole bit is cool. But then one cool thing is that she takes the children upstairs, and through a frosted glass window, they can see the bone woman too, which is cool. But of course, the dog is now dead, like I said. And everyone comes home, and it's really fucked up because her sister accuses her of hurting her children, and they get into a fight. And it's honestly really fucking sad, like I said. On the way out, she runs into her aunt outside, and she tells her that she is going to a better witch to do something more powerful. And she gets it. She's like, I understand, I guess, but be careful. Yeah. She shows her that she got like burned in a similar ritual. So, yeah.
And her aunt's the only one who has her freaking back.
For real.
She's like, of course I believe you. Like, right. that's what we need. That's the energy we need.
For real. Yeah. Like, I love her aunt, dude. She's the only one that she has in her corner. And that's so fucked up.
Yeah.
Damn. So later on, Valeria and Raul are having guests over. Not really sure who, someone who he's trying to like woo, you know, like someone who he's trying to win over or something. They're very strange, but Raul confronts her about what happened at her mother's, and it just feels like he's giving up on her at this point. Of course, we get the scene where the people are looking at her like she's fucking crazy. She sees like a spider on the table and she like screams or something. And of course, everyone turns and looks at her and makes her feel like she's fucking insane. So she kind of excuses herself and goes to the baby's room, and she sees like a creepy baby, like a bone woman, like the bone woman is there. And someone starts the baby crib on fire and like the toys and stuff on fire. And I think we'll get into it at the end if the bone woman actually exists, right? Because I'm not sure. it does feel very like with the witches and stuff that, you know, I'm not here to judge like what they believe in. So if they believe that the Bone Woman could exist as a supernatural being, then I'm not going to try to say otherwise, mm-hmm. but yeah. So we'll talk later. We'll kind of go back and forth and see if you think like the Bone Woman is actually real or if it's an analogy or something.
Yeah.
So she gets prescribed antidepressants, and in another tragic scene, Raul is seen setting up the new crib that his mom bought, and it just feels really tragic. It just feels like a woman in distress while pregnant isn't being helped in the right way. Instead, she's just being pushed aside in hopes that she will give birth to a healthy baby, and that's it. It just feels fucked up. And there's so actually, it is, dude. And there's that really small cue where she's trying to get something out of the closet in the baby room while he's setting up the crib.
It was the his guitar.
Right, right. She's like moving it. And I think it's this like really like, you know, because there's a lot of scenes where she's like reminiscing in her past and they were like into punk rock and she listens to those albums still and stuff, kind of like you and I would, Courtney. And so, yeah, it just feels like she's like moving things out of the way. It's a really good. Damn. Yeah, this movie's good. I don't want to give my rating away, but yeah, yeah, like it's a good fucking movie. Yeah, dude. It's really smart. Damn. People. It's not a horror movie.
It was
no,
really
not at
sad
all.
When I know.
Fucking.
Yeah. It was sad when he was being so mean to her when like the people were coming over and he was like, your mom called me. We'll talk about that later. It's like, you're not my fucking dad.
Right? Dude, show
like,
some
you're my partner.
Concern.
Like you should have my fucking back. Yes, compassion.
Dude, for real. Yeah, like
I feel like we say this every time we see a movie like this. It's always the same fucking story.
Mm-hmm. It's
awful.
Yeah, it sucks. So after being obviously very frustrated with everything, Valeria goes to a local punk show to visit Octavia, and they also get into a fight. So she becomes part of the crowd for a minute, and the Bone Woman is there. But she also starts giving birth at the show. So she goes to the hospital and ends up, everything is all good. This is where I was like, oh, she had the baby. Interesting. Except for the one fact that she refuses to like look at her baby right now.
Yeah.
But Raul is like, why can't you look at her? And it just feels super like triggering.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's like another part of the discussion that yet again, here's a cisgendered white dude that should not be putting my 2 cents worth. But I know I've had friends and family and stuff in the past that deal with like post-traumatic, like postpartum stress.
Yeah.
And that's like a huge, huge fucking thing. Like it's not a joke. And to just be like, yo, why can't you look at your kid right now? When there have been women who have killed their child because they were so affected by what had happened. Like, you know, there's literally like science behind it that we don't fully understand yet as to why that's a thing that happens. Maybe it's the fucking fact that like the guy just goes right back to work. You know, like nothing happened.
Yeah.
Doesn't help out or anything. I don't know. Maybe it's that and the entire pressure of being pregnant for 9 fucking months and people commenting on your body and what you eat. And
watching you like a hawk.
Yeah.
Like you're not an adult.
Yeah, exactly. Ugh. And it's weird because like, I actually have a family member who's pregnant right now and I've been around her quite a few, you know, or like quite a bit during the pregnancy. And it's insane how so many people comment on little stupid shit that I'm in my head. I'm like, you do not have to say that. Like,
it's mind boggling.
It's insane.
We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
Like people have said things to me like that just are so like backhanded. I'm like, why would you even say that to me?
I don't.
It's wild. Like you just keep it to your fucking self.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So if any of our listeners are pregnant right now, we have your back. We fully support
you. You're doing
you.
Amazing, sweetie.
Yeah. You got this. You're killing it. So So yeah, the baby won't stop crying, kind of like a Eraserhead, kind of like last week. And she's also clearly like unrested and going through some stuff. This is probably one of the most harrowing like bits in the film. She gets out of bed and sort of transforms into the Bone Woman or something, which kind of lends to our discussion that we'll have later about if the Bone Woman is real or not. And we see just the shot of the baby monitor. We don't actually follow her to the room. And Valeria's hands and like two other pairs of hands grab at the baby. It's really gross looking. And then there's just like silence, and Valeria is able to fall asleep. She just goes right back to bed. So I really love this like small cliffhanger type vibe. We aren't like too sure what happened to the baby, obviously.
And, oh, this part, when I saw it for the first time, I had such bad anxiety watching this scene.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. So she gets a phone call from Raul saying he's like on his way home or something. And she's like saying, no, we're okay. You know, things like that. And then she kind of like, after she hangs up, she kind of realizes like, oh, I don't hear any crying on the baby monitor. That's a weird thing. So it's revealed, sadly, the baby was put in the fridge and the baby is seemingly fine. We'll say that, but I don't think that that's the point of the scene.
Yeah.
You know, the point is that there's like so much pressure on new moms to be okay. And it's not always that simple. Like, I don't know. There are tons of reasons that a woman wouldn't be okay after giving birth, especially when their partner isn't there to help them. Like I said, exactly, a minute ago, it's just fucking insane to me, dude. How many times am I going to say fucking insane? Take a shot. That's every time.
Another drinking game.
But it really is. And that's kind of where this movie really peaked, was at that scene where I was like, fuck, dude, like I will never, ever be able to relate to that. I can do my best to understand it, you know, like if Chanel ever gets pregnant, you know, if we ever get to that point and stuff, but, and I will be there for her, but
yeah,
fuck, dude, it's devastating. It really is. So, and it's weird how like, it's such a relief that the baby is seemingly okay, but kind of like I said, that's not really the point of it. So Valeria has Octavia take her to a more powerful witch, or should I say witches. They begin their ritual on her and they light a pile of leaves in the shape of her on fire and they dunk her in some water. And in one of the dunks, when she comes back up, they aren't there and she's all alone except for the creepy ass Bone Woman. there's a large mass of them in the woods all piled up together sort of, and it's super wild. This is where the body horror gets a little crazy. They kind of like surround her and start breaking her bones. It sounds like pretty intense, dude. A lot's going on for sure. So turns out she was envisioning herself on fire in the beginning. She wakes up from everything and her aunt puts her baby in her arms because everything is fine, except for when she gets home. She's seen leaving with a suitcase and some bags after trying to say bye to her child. Raul seemingly doesn't really care either. It's gutting. Like gutting, dude. Ugh.
Yeah, it, especially the first time I saw it, I was like, what the fuck? Cause that's not, clearly that's not what you expect is going to happen at the end. You expect that this like black magic ritual like cleared her of the entity that's been lingering in her life since she got pregnant.
Yeah.
And like everything's gonna be better. She's gonna be like less anxious, less stressed. She's gonna feel better, be able to raise her daughter. And then it's just like, no, actually she's just, yeah, decides that that's not the path she wants to take in life, and she decides that her child's better off without her, and she leaves with her toolbox and her suitcase. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, so is that more so, I felt in my viewing that it was more of a him kicking her out.
Okay, I did not get that at all.
Okay, because he's incredibly cold to her. She tries to say bye.
He's crying. So like maybe he's just I got it that he was just like, of course, like devastated that she decided to leave.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna stick with my take because that's even more gutting, because then that really shows how he just gave up on her and like he kicked her out and like didn't want her a part of the child's life is what I took it as.
Yeah.
But I obviously can see yours as well. And
yeah. Cause her reaction, like she's like, I could sense that she was doing this for her and like, it's tough. Yes. But like, she's like taking a deep breath cause she's about to step out the door to like whatever she wants her life to be. Cause that's what she's choosing. And like, I took it like after all of that, like that happened with her, like putting her child in the fridge and just everything that happened is that she realized that that's not like actually what she wanted and what she was ready for. And she's causing more harm than good.
Mm.
And that's why she decided that she wanted to leave.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I definitely could see that. Yeah. And that actually kind of, because I do have like one more note about what the bone woman or bone women, that congealed form of them, could all mean. And you know, it's kind of her regretting her past and her past lives and her past choices and, you know, feeling that sense of like dread that she kind of gave up on what she actually wanted to do and wanted to be.
Yeah.
And yeah, that definitely buys into what you're saying, your take, for sure. That's an interesting question. Knowing how this goes, listener, if any of you guys have seen this movie, watched it till the end, please, please, please message one of us telling us if you think she's leaving by choice or not by choice. Cause now I'm like, I'm a little bit, you know, caught in the middle. I'm like, I don't know. Interesting. That's interesting, right? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. Huh. Yeah, because I just felt like Raul's body language was more so like, get out of my house. Like, I don't want you a part of our child's life.
Yeah. And he could have been feeling that way because of her choosing to leave. Like, well, he's like pissed. Like, well, what the fuck? True. Like, true. We just like tried so hard to have this child. And like, this is what we wanted, seemingly.
Yeah.
And like clearly in the beginning, that is what she wanted. And then she went through all of that, like the grief and the like whatever regret. And then it all led up to her just deciding that that's not what she wanted. So he's pissed off and like, of course hurt. Like, well, what the fuck now? Like I'm like have this child and you're just walking out the door with all of your shit in a suitcase. But with your take, it's interesting for me to think on that other like end of the spectrum. Cause that never crossed my mind when I, both times I saw it. So that's, yeah, that's interesting for me to think about too now. Like seeing it from that take.
Yeah, because I was almost waiting for a cue of some sorts, like with everything that had happened, maybe it was revealed that she cheated on him and she put the baby in the fridge and like all these things. So I was almost waiting for like the sound of like a bus coming to get her, as in like she's being taken to like a mental institute or something.
I was thinking that for a second too. Yeah. Like she was going to like get help.
Right,
for
right.
everything, because they wanted to like commit her to a mental hospital at one point in the movie because of the way that she was acting. So I was thinking in my brain, like maybe she decided to get that help to be better. But then like I kept going back and forth on that because I was like, I don't think that's I don't think that's what it is, because she's like taking her toolbox and shit. So
Sweet, dude. Well, I mean, with that, like, let's just leave it open-ended then, because, you know, it's not like we're disagreeing with each other. It's more
Yeah,
so just our interpretation, and that's what
exactly.
I
And that's
fucking
what
love.
movies are for.
Yeah, dude. I love that.
Especially movies like this that leave it open-ended, where like you do have the opportunity to feel however you want to feel about it without someone like setting it in stone and be like, well, no, actually, this is really what it was. So.
Yeah, overall, just definitely, man, definitely gonna make it on the 2023 horror discoveries list. Doesn't, you know, I've got about 20 things on there already, but, you know, so I can't guarantee if it's gonna be in that top five or whatever, but it's it was definitely a moment for sure. And I really, really fucking dug our discussion on it because yeah, I see, this is what I love. I love these discussions. Sometimes other ones I'm like not as pumped on because I like to be able to like talk with you about it and like see what we interpret differently compared to other stuff where it's like we say it all the time. We don't like to be handheld. You don't have to hold our hands. Let me interpret that shit my own way. So hell yes, dude. Sweet. Well, that's all my notes. And then other than quickly saying, like, what do you think? Was the Bone Woman real? Like a supernatural being? Or, as happens in horror films a lot, was it an analogy for something?
Analogy. For me, it was more so an analogy. Like, I feel like with, because it's, I'm trying to find the right words. So definitely an analogy, but also like it was an entity of some sort, in order for it to be something that needed to be like taken out of her, like it, all with the ritual and whatnot. Like it was something, but I think it was something that she created herself. And it might have been like something that like other people had gone through, like the other witches or like the people in her family or whatever it may be, had gone through as well, with like the fear of like becoming a mother, because that's a huge life change. That's just a huge thing in general. Like your life changes forever. And for a lot of people, like in a positive way, and for other people in a not so positive way. And it's scary, and like there's so many changes, like not even with like your life, but with like yourself, with your body, the way you see yourself, the way other people see you. So I think with all of that, and like all of those feelings of like being unsure and being scared and regretful and whatever else, like I think she did create that within herself. And it did become something that was real, that she felt like she needed to like contact other people or meet with other people to get help with it.
You know, not to take a cop out, but I literally entirely agree with you. You just kind of hit the nail on the head. So, yeah, I agree. I think it's kind of a weird mixture, you know, and I think ultimately it's an analogy. Why can I never say that? An analogy for just like you said, she needed help in the end. She got that help from outside sources. And I think that's really telling. And, you know, sometimes your family doesn't have your back. Let's just be honest. So, yeah, dude, we love Analogy City up in here.
Yes, we
We
do. I feel
really
like it's,
fucking do.
yeah, these are, I think these are our favorite type of movies to talk about, I will say.
Yes. If we could just watch these movies for
For the
the
rest of our lives.
rest. Yes. Pretty much, though. I mean, dude,
People are
and
like, we
it's
just want
funny.
to hear you talk about fucking rubber, please, for
Yeah.
the love of God.
Right. Well, and it's funny because like I had just been thinking last week, I think, about I hadn't found anything this year that was like a new release, quote unquote, that had like gripped me, like a couple of the films from last year, like they did. And I think this kind of hit the nail on the head with that. So I've got some good things to say. Let's move on to the last section, unless you have anything else to add, dude.
No, I think we touched on everything.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then let's get right into
the Coffin Bony Death.
cause of bony death.
Hell yeah. Fuck it. I'll start. I feel like, you know, I've been hyping it up and stuff. So maybe I've been hyping it up too much. I'm going to go for a flat 4 out of 5.
Okay.
Maybe.
I kind of saw that coming.
Yeah. Yeah. You know me, I always go at like 0.5 increments. So like if I were to go any higher, I think a 4.5 is a little high for me. Just given some factors, but a 4 out of 5, you know, for me is super solid. And yeah, dude, I feel like a 4 out of 5 for me is a film that I recommend to anyone. You know, I'm like, I don't really care if you're not into horror. I'm still going to say like, hey, you should watch this film. I think so. So 4 out of 5 toe tags for me, dude. What about you?
I'm going to go for 4.5.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And I think a lot of that also is because of like my original watch with it.
Mm-hmm.
And like just the whole like experience.
Yeah.
And it being like one of my favorite films that I saw that entire weekend, if not my favorite that I saw. I think it actually was my favorite that I saw.
I think you said it was.
Because now I'm thinking about it, like some other ones I saw were really good and I really enjoyed them, but this one like I just kept thinking about and was hoping that we would cover it eventually. Yeah. And I'm really glad that we ended up doing it. And I'm glad that you had mentioned it, because I, for whatever reason, it slipped my brain, because I figured like you would watch it, we would talk about it, and then I would be able to find out if you actually liked it or not. But being able to like have a full discussion on it actually is really cool. And I'm really happy that we got to do that.
Yeah, because like I said, we kind of had like a free space on the podcast before we go on break. And depending on how next week pans out with our hopeful guest, might happen again. We might have kind of a free space again, depending on if that guest pulls through or not. Yeah. So,
and I like that, being able to just kind of randomly choose whatever we want to cover.
Once in a blue moon.
Yeah.
Yep, for sure.
Maybe next we can cover the new Evil Dead.
That'd be fun, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how I'd have my notes on it. I'd either have to go see it again or pull out the old soap today.
The old soap today.
It's on
trick.
There, yeah. It should be, because it's on digital now too. Yeah. So, I'm always down to rent it or whatever. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens next week.
We'll keep it loosey goosey.
Yeah.
As we do.
Yeah. So it's crazy because, you know, this was on your list for last year's discoveries because you got it.
Yeah.
But now it's probably going to be on mine, judging by just how things are going right now. We're almost halfway through the year already somehow.
It's wild.
It's almost June. What are you talking about? Yeah. So judging by how it's going, it might end up on that top five. And we'll see. You know, I'm still like, I'm always so soaked on that because I like to see like, what did you watch that I didn't or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, listener, go check it out on Shudder. We obviously entirely ruined the film. So if you watched, I mean, if you listened to our episode and haven't watched the movie, kind of sucks. But
yeah, because those anxiety moments where you're not sure what is about to happen or what happened.
Yeah.
Like the baby in the fridge, of course, because like
she
walks over to an open window and like your heart is racing. You're like, okay, a baby was thrown out the fucking window.
Dude.
This is going to be awful. Psych, it wasn't. But yeah, so like you won't be able to get that like anxiety with not knowing what the hell is about to happen next if you haven't seen it yet.
Exactly. But, you know, even if you listen to our discussion, it sounds like an interesting film. Definitely go check it out.
Oh, yeah.
Get the numbers up on everything because it was a great fucking time. And like I said, super smartly made. I'm super pumped to see what she's working on next. To see what the plot is going to be. How badly I hope that it still sticks in the horror. All of her short films are, this one was stick to the horror, Michelle. You do it very well. It kind of reminds me of last year, like Chloe Okuno with Watcher.
Yes.
Stick to this genre film, please. Cause it's like, I get like,
amazing.
You know, I feel like, at some point, like if I were a director, right, and I got invited to literally make a Marvel film for like, and I get paid like $10 million, I'd be like, let me think about that for 10 seconds. All right, I'm in. You know, it's cash, it's green, it's lettuce. But dude, like sticking to the genre film is important, and especially when you do it so well, don't leave us, you know? So yeah, it's special. And I'd recommend you, Courtney, too, to go check out her short films, because they were really fantastic. I just found them on YouTube. They all had captions and stuff. So, and actually one was English spoken. So I think that she made that one while she was in the UK. So, yeah, go check that out. And if we're ready for an outro, we'll do an outro. All right, guys, that was Husera the Bone Woman, directed by Michelle Garza Cervera from 2022. Obviously, just a great time. And thank you, Courtney, for introducing it to me, because like we talked in the beginning, I don't know if this would have really caught onto my radar, unfortunately. So we're in. We're good to go. We're going to hype this to the end of the year again, like we always do, and fucking get pumped on it. So, yeah, stay tuned till next week, guys. Like I said, we're going to try to have a guest on. And just in case it doesn't actually work out, I'm not going to announce what movie we were going to pick with that guest, because we'd like to cover that eventually with that guest when they're on. So I'm not going to announce it, but we will have one more episode before our June month long break. I will reiterate, in the month of June, we will be republishing episodes that we have done in the past. So you guys won't be just starved of media from us, but so just stay tuned till next week. You'll see we'll get one more new episode, and then everybody can have the summer fun, you know, go to the pool, go to suck on a popsicle, whatever you do. But if you want to follow me online, you can catch me on Instagram and Letterboxd at Jensen Harper. Come yell at me. Come send me frog pictures in my DMs, not Courtney. If you want to send your feet pics to Courtney on Instagram, just hit her up at Little Sky Dancer. Yes. That's her favorite thing.
I love them.
Yep. And
good old foot pic.
Yeah. Classic shit, dude. If you want to see just like bone feet pics of us, it's on our OnlyFans. You can find it there. God. And if you want to find us online, you can find us on Instagram at The Fright Crew. Jesus Christ, what should the listener do to us? Do to us?
Do for us. Do to us.
They can do us.
There's so many things they can do to us. But for us, we would very much appreciate if they left us a rating and review, preferably a 5-star. We'll take a 4. But if it's anything below a 4, then yeah, we're going to have some words. We appreciate the high scores, but we also appreciate the like critiques. If you guys have some shit you want to say, we'll listen, and then we'll block you immediately after.
Yes, and we will send our brujas after you.
Oh, yes. absolutely
yes. If I were to say anything, just stay tragic, man. It's fucking this bummed me out, but in a great way. Yeah, I'm tired. Let's go to bed, everybody.
Okay, good night.
Not the long sleep, though. We love you. Stay awake for, you know, as long as you can.
Yeah. All right, as long as you want to. Okay, bye.